ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host, Lugs.
I never know if you're going to say my name or if I'm going to say it.
Yeah, either do I. It's kind of on the fly each and every week.
I've noticed.
Kind of like our show.
I've noticed.
There is no organization or planning to this show. It is just 100%...
on the fly.
On the fly, unfiltered, raw, straight to you, the fans. So, Lugs, how you doing this week, buddy?
I'm doing good. I had a not too bad week so far. How about you?
Well, it's been a shitty day, but that's all right. I'm here for the fans.
Don't shoot
what matters.
It for us.
Yeah, no, it's been a really shitty day. So, folks, welcome back. This week we went to the, I don't want to say High Banks, because obviously it's not High Banks, but let's just say the desert town of Vegas. So that's where we're going to start you off at.
No thank you to the fans this week?
Oh, absolutely. I'm getting there. I'm getting there, Lugs. Thanks for... You know what? I'm going to let you say thank you to fans, because it's always me, and I want them to hear from you.
Thanks, fans. No, I'm kidding.
A little bit more effort than that.
Yeah, no. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for engaging with us on social media. Got a lot of Twitter interaction and Facebook interaction this
week. Yeah, this week was very good with that. So yeah. We had a poll out there on all the platforms.
Couple polls, some... engaging posts and some stuff we're going to talk about and bring up again here.
Some new fans, like Tommy, who wanted to come on the show tonight. But unfortunately, Tommy, I apologize. Scheduling did not work out because it was such a cluster of the day. I'm just beating myself. Cluster crap of a day to put something together to be able to have you call in. And I absolutely apologize for that. So hopefully...
we'll make it happen.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. I told him that if we can, in 2 weeks, we will try.
All right.
Because next week, we're not going to be able to, Lugs. We're going to be busy next week.
Why is that?
Because we have a call-in. A driver is calling in next week, so stay tuned to find out who it is.
Yeah, it's true. We're not going to tell you, so you got to check back next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So, fans, as always, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. If you haven't told a friend or a family member, please do. We need that. We're kind of stagnant right now. We need to grow. We need to find ways to grow. If you can help us grow, that would be fantastic. We need your help, folks. Right?
That's true.
You know what? And if I ever meet you, I would buy you a beer. And we do meet some of our fans, like Mike down in Florida.
One day that might bite you. I don't know.
It probably will. I'll probably like be out lots and lots of money for beers. I hope everybody likes Keystone. Or Hams.
Hams. I'm going to say Hams.
Yeah. But as always, folks, we start off with the Busch Light because that's the official beer of NASCAR, Busch.
All right. So, should we kick it off and talk about Vegas?
Well, let's just say winner, winner, chicken dinner.
For somebody, yeah.
Yeah, Brad Keselowski, 3 in a row. So now that gives us 3-peat winners this year.
Yeah. So, who... really would have ever expected that. I didn't expect it.
So we had 3, but we've had it happen 4 times because Harvick did it twice this season.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, to have just Keselowski come on out of nowhere like he has.
I kind of called it throughout the season, but then I took him out of my damn playoffs, like in the last round. So I kind of feel like an idiot now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's always been kind of lurking there, but he just didn't have quite that extra piece to put it in victory lane. But, man, he's found it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, congrats, Brad. You did a great job. You definitely earned it. Every race you've won so far this year, you've earned. There's been nothing
absolutely.
Given.
And especially earned Vegas, man. How many green white restarts do we have?
Oh, man, what a crash fest. Yeah. I mean, and we've seen that in the truck race. We've seen that in the Xfinity race. Yeah. I was hoping the cup race wasn't going to be that bad. But, hey, let's be honest. It made it entertaining.
Well, the cup race was the worst of the three, I think.
Yeah, and the great – I don't know if I say great, but the – different great thing about the cup race is that it was all the playoff contenders. That's what made it. I mean, it was like all the front runners are the ones that were really having the most trouble.
So let me ask you this. What, I mean, was it just luck or do you think people were just putting their car too much on that side of the, you know, playing?
So what makes those cars front runners every week?
The performance?
You mean? Yeah. What makes them top performers every week?
The big household team. teams, the big names with the big money.
What I'm getting to are the smart crew chiefs, engineers, etc. So they're playing with those right side tires to get them to perform the best, and what ended up happening? Ended up biting their ass. Look at Harvick. Look at Chase. Well,
yeah, there was some of that.
They got caught up in that.
But, you know.
Well, okay, how many times did you hear about right tire issues? Constantly. Constantly. I think that they were pushing the limits.
But it wasn't all of them. Like, you know, Kyle, he spun out on his own. Hamlin spun out on his own.
I didn't say it was all of them. I said that was a great extent of them.
Yeah. Kurt Busch caught up in someone else's issue for the most part.
That's the other thing, is that you're caught up in somebody else's issues, like Erik Jones getting caught up.
That's what I'm saying. So how many of those was the guys, you know, pushing it too hard? Whether it was the crew chief's decision to be more aggressive with the tires, or in Denny and Kyle's situation, was the driver driving a little too hard, trying to get more than what the car could afford?
Or maybe they were just driving over their heads.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean their skill level.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Kyle is a wheel man. Denny is a little questionable. I'm sorry, Denny, if you come on the show, I apologize.
He's not ever coming on here. You've ripped him down too many times.
I'm not ripping him down. I'm just telling the truth.
Needless to say, it was a crash fest. You know, obviously, it's a product of the chase, right? The field being reset.
I love it, though. I mean, doesn't it make it exciting?
Chase the Homestead. Yeah, I'm curious. No, I don't want to know, really, but it'd be funny to know what would it be like if it was still the old format, you know?
Nah, who cares? This is what it is now. Let's not play, you know, history or what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened. Let's just... It is what it is. If you like it or don't like it, you're stuck with it.
I'm just saying, like, if it was the old points format where you don't reset, would this have still been as crazy of a race as it was?
I don't think so. I think, and obviously there was different things going into this to create the catastrophe that it was. One is you have Vegas as your intro race, September. Everybody knows that Vegas is still warm this time of year, and I think it was a little hotter than they expected, which made it slippery as snot out there with those tires. Then you have all the people pushing really hard. I just think there's a lot of combinations. So let me ask you this, Lugs. Did you enjoy the race?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I would not have liked to have been there.
Well, true, exactly. But how many times can you say you liked the Vegas race?
Man, I can't think of one that sticks out in my head.
Exactly. To me, this is probably the best Vegas race I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Even if it was a crash fest, it was exciting for the fans.
So question is the excitement that resulted on the track, is that worth the trade-off for as many fans there were in the stands?
So
if they were to move it to a night race, you know? Because Obviously that's going to probably change the product a little bit.
It absolutely would, because one, it wouldn't be quite as slick.
Right, so cool off.
But there definitely was not a very good showing of fans in the stands. And who cares what TV ratings are? You have to put asses in the seats, right? I mean, you have to sell those tickets. You have to get the fans there at the tracks watching this. Now, why wasn't there so many fans? One is the heat. The heat was just as horrible, triple digits. But two is that Vegas has not traditionally produced great races.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this was typical Vegas, that place would be packed. But this was that one outlier that we're not used to.
Yeah.
So people weren't planning for that, obviously.
And they've got the schedule set for next year, right? The actual dates, but I don't think they have times sets. I wonder if they'll do any modifying there. Maybe start it a little bit later, because I mean the truck series, you know, they started at night. So
I don't see them making any changes, Lux. And the reason why is that however much they say that they don't want to see racing like this, they do, because that's what the fans want to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they do want to see that. They hope both Vegas races this next year is like this. They want to get those fans back in those seats and having. And I hate to say it, the catastrophes, the crash fest, whatever, that entertains fans. Because who would have went into this race, really, as a fan, thinking that 12 to 16 playoff competitors were going to be caught up in something?
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected to be as bad as it was.
No, not at all. So I'm saying that this actually could work to their favor, but they have to find a way to keep it like that. If we go back to the same old Vegas, it's going to be... again, you're not going. You're going the seats are going to be the same way. The it's going to be empty. Yeah.
So Clint Boyer said it's going to be the same thing this weekend at Richmond. He said everybody's going to be like pushing for the win because nobody wants to depend on the Roval.
Yeah, that I agree. That super smart saying by Clint Boyer. Because really the we're used to Talladega being the who wild knows what's going to happen, right? The wild card. The Roval is absolutely a wild
card. Yeah, there's more so many wild cards this year than there has in the years past.
Yeah, and I mean just starting off this playoffs.
We didn't think Vegas was going to be a wild card, but it sure certain was.
Exactly. And I mean, look at the big names that were impacted. I mean, Erik Jones, he's been coming on late in the season, becoming, you know, competitive and consistently up front, and now he's 16th.
Mm-hmm.
You had Truex, who could have taken advantage had he got that win. He was so close to getting that win. He was running up front. You know, we're talking about the big three. I started to feel that maybe Truex was starting to drop off.
Yeah.
But this kind of brought me back to light that maybe he is a competitor after all this indie run.
Yeah, I agree. But he kind of redeemed him a little bit this weekend.
Yeah, and Keselowski running away with it a little bit there. But, and you know, let's talk about playoff points.
Well, before we do that, what about Kyle? I mean, he came back for seventh.
Seventh, yeah. He actually impressed the way he came back.
We never really saw him up there challenging
for it.
That was a little concerning to me in my mind.
Yeah, if you heard him, he was complaining the whole race. Actually, his car did not come even to him to be able to race until mm-hmm. the end.
Yeah, and we've heard that a lot, right? He complains and complains and complains, and then he's in victory lane.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, but where were you going next? Sorry.
I can't remember now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
playoff
points.
Oh, yeah, playoff points.
So I'm just saying, look at Jones, look at Harvick. The difference in those two, the playoff points, I mean, it's so important. So what I think this is going to result in next year, those stages, I think are now going to they presented themselves to be important. But this year, I think they're going to present themselves to be so much more important than even last year. So mm-hmm. what I'm getting to is that next year, 2019, I think the races for the stages
are going to be
even more insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, people are going to understand that the impact it can have
mm-hmm.
and really race super hard. So if you're not a fan of the stage racing this year, per se, give it next year. I think I understand.
Especially if they implement the rules changes and go to this new
the aero package
for some of the tracks. But, I mean, it is. It's going to turn it up. People are going to be more competitive and be able to race. More people are going to be able to race. Like we saw four wide in the Xfinity race at Indy. We're going to see that, like, basically every track that they have that rules package, if you ask me.
I don't know if it'll be every track, though.
It's going to be.
It's going to be at where? Pocono, Indy?
Well, they haven't said yet. We don't know, but. I'm just saying,
I see that
at those tracks, you know,
yeah.
It's going to be intense. So I don't disagree with you there.
But, yeah, I just think it's going to help crank it up a notch next year. So, again, there's older people. Not necessarily just older people. I'm just saying old school mentality people who are not fans of the chase or the stages. I apologize. I was a little hesitant at first myself, but I love stage racing now. I like the idea of... It's kind of like mini heats getting to the final, you know, hardcore event, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like what a lot of grassroots racing is. There are heat events until the main event, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of makes me have a feel of that. And seeing some of these guys go, for example, Darlington, whenever Austin Dillon got around Kyle Larson, because Kyle Larson backed off.
Mm-hmm.
The next time, Kyle Larson was pissed, so he gunned it and kept him from it. Just that little thing like that is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. The modern-day racing back to the yellow.
Yeah, so I think if you're not a fan of stages this year, and if you're not a fan, email us and tell us why. Let us know at wreckingracing@gmail.com. Yeah, let us know or let us understand. Maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Probably we'll talk about it on the show, actually. We love talking about our fans and things that they have to say. And talking about that, going to Richmond next week. Mike, your son is having a bachelor party at Richmond next week. Have fun. Enjoy your Chevy Ford Performance shirt.
Why don't you tell our viewers about that, a little more context.
Okay, sure. So Mike he contacted us when we were having a giveaway, so we sent him a gift. We actually had met Mike previously at Daytona. How I broke the ice with Mike. was I was giving him shit because he was staying at the Ford Performance trailer, merchandise trailer, wearing a Chevy Performance shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
So his gift...
And was shopping, literally shopping.
Yeah, yeah. So I just thought that was hilarious. So I sent him a shirt that said Ford Performance and had the Chevy logo underneath it. And that's the inside joke with that. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, actually, whose idea was it?
I don't know. Who made it?
Okay, it was my idea.
Maybe it was, but who made it?
It was my idea.
It looked phenomenal. Yeah. Okay, in my eyes, which I'm pretty blind, it looked phenomenal. So we got an email from Mike saying he got it and he loved it. I hope he's just not blowing smoke up our tushies. I hope he did like it and enjoy it. It's a conversation point
when he goes to Richmond if he takes it with him.
He said he's going to work at Richmond. He said he's going to get all kinds of weird stares. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're a fan and you see him at Richmond, say hi to him because he's a great fan of ours too. He emails us frequently and talks to us. So, Mike, you're a great guy. And have fun. Don't get too wasted next week at Richmond.
All right. So let's talk about next thing here before we get to – I guess the big name finishes. I want to throw some shout outs and kudos to some names we don't talk about had some good finishes. And you can argue it was just a byproduct of some of the people that crashed.
But hey, take advantage of it.
But you know what? There's still finishes and they earned them. Regan Smith came home 12th. Again, fill in for Casey Kane.
20th and 12th, right?
Yeah.
So in two races, he's averaged
15th, 16th. 17th. I don't know. I hate math. But anyway,
16. Yeah, it was 16. I was really
stepping into that car in 2 weeks.
And he's outperformed.
Yeah, he has absolutely. So kudos to him. Corey LaJoy, 16th. JJ Yelly, 17th.
Chris Buescher, 15th. We've been saying his name a lot for kudos.
And Landon Castle, 18th. So top 20 for some guys.
What about Ross Chastain, 20th?
Okay,
we'll get to it in a little bit, but he won the Xfinity race on Saturday, then 20th on Sunday. Right. So, yeah, Ross, JD Motorsports, hint for next week. But he did a great job. Great, great job.
Yeah, so kudos to those guys. Keep up the work, good work, even if it was the byproduct of a couple people crashing out. That's okay.
Yeah. So are we now at a point where we're saying there's a big four? Yeah, I think you have
absolutely.
To. I think you
absolutely.
Have to.
Absolutely.
I was starting to say, I before this race, I was going to make the comment, we still have a big three, but Truex is not in part of that. But now, this week, kind of turned my head. So I guess we do have four.
We have four.
So is that our final four? Harvick, Busch, Truex, Keselowski.
It's anybody's game, man. So for that fourth spot, in my opinion, but I think that Keselowski's the front runner, definitely.
I should have kept him. I should have kept him on my list. I'm sorry, Brett. But, you know, here's another... I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off, Lugs. But something else I actually wanted to talk about this week, something that we haven't been able to really talk about in a consistent way. Chevrolets. This week proved to me that they're right there. That they're right there. They were at one point, I think there's like one Toyota in the top 10,
yeah.
and half of it was Chevys.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that. I actually kind of forgot about it. But, yeah, Bowman was up there. Larson, we saw him
Johnson,
up leading. Johnson made it up there.
Unfortunately, they had some issues late in the race with Rex.
They did. So the results didn't really indicate how those guys ran, but it had to be a little bit of a feather in their cap.
Yeah, I mean, and we, you know, we go to like a super speedway and they're running up front. This is the mile and a half. This is kind of the ideal situation where they want to be competitive. It's not just Kyle Larson because that's what we're kind of used to this year. It was all of them. Chase was up there. Johnson, Bowman. They were competitive. I think Byron was even up there for a little bit like in the top 10, outside of the top 10. So what I'm getting to is that half of the top 10 at one point were Chevys, and it was just... It was nice seeing them be able to make that step finally. And at the time that they did it in the playoffs, I mean, that's obviously, I mean, it took you a little long time to get there to be competitive, boys. But I guess if you're going to show up, now's the time.
Right, right. So talking about that real quick here, the last four after Vegas to be eliminated, if we cut the field today, that would eliminate Hamlin, Jones, Chase, and Johnson. Does that match up with your...
No.
Me no, neither. No. The only one that I have in there that matches up with the list that we did a couple weeks ago with Sokka was Erik Jones. So, well, actually, and Johnson. Sorry, Johnson as well. I had Johnson out in the first round. So two of the four I've got right. But
yeah, and I have Chase making it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Well, it definitely has a little.
But anything could change this weekend, so we'll see. And they're not out by a lot. Now, Hamlin and Jones, they got some digging to do. I think they're 19 and 20 points out. They did dig
in. You see Hamlin's car hit the grass? He dug all kinds of.
Yeah, that's a bad pun. But, I mean, I think it turned around a win at Richmond, so.
It dig. Let's talk about that. That's Chase Elliott's emoji on his car.
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about last week.
How stupid is that?
Fans, what do you think? These Twitter emojis that are on the cars, are you a fan? Are you not a fan?
Message us, wreckingracing@gmail.com, or go to our website, wreckingracing.com.
I get it. I read a few articles where NASCAR's talking about they're not renewing the contingency sponsorships with that, like, being a guaranteed to be a display area. Like, they're selling it to digital aspects. So I get that. It's a little bit of an innovation point for the sport and for the cars, but I don't like it.
I thought it looked so tacky.
Yeah.
And so dumb.
And they don't blend in with the cars.
No, if the car is white like Harvick's car was, it's not so bad. But it's whenever it's a blue car and it's a white logo.
They're exactly perfect examples. Kozlowski, his is white with the Deuce doing a burnout with the American flag, but he had an Auto Trader scheme.
The orange car.
Yeah, so it looked like someone just went up and put a giant sticker on
like,
there.
Yeah, like some kid just went and slapped it on there. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, that's what they're going to take to school for show and tell.
So
you know?
At least get the background of it to match the rest of the car.
Yeah, and the generic Twitter logo on all the other cars.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It looks so tacky. What's the so point? Dumb.
So they're saying, okay, there's the Twitter bird. What? What? Okay, now
it says
what?
NASCAR playoffs or something like that, trying to promote it. And this is all Race Team Alliance
moves,
pushes. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is from Race Team Alliance.
But did you know that Truex didn't have it?
I did not know until I read an article yesterday, I think it was.
His Furniture Row is not part of the Alliance.
Yeah, you know what? That's smart. Because Race Team Alliance is a failure. The Race Team Alliance, we've bitched and complained so much this season about how much of out of touch they are with the fans. And this is just adds to that, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I mean, did you look at Twitter at all this past week?
A little bit.
It blew
much.
Up about how stupid these emojis were.
Really?
Now, if you don't think they're stupid, please let us know. That's fine. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm just saying, my personal opinion, they look stupid and tacky.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess at the same point, like, kudos for them trying something different, but I'm not on board with it.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the emojis themselves.
So,
yeah, so there's a couple. One, okay, and you have to know a backstory to understand it.
Yeah, like you didn't know Chase's. You're like, what is up with the
siren? Yeah, thing. Yeah, exactly. So if you don't know the backstory, you're kind of it's kind of like an inside joke. You're left out.
Yeah.
So Bowman's, he's got yellow stripes on back of his car, like he's a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
So he had all kinds of people this week say, "Hey, congratulations on being a rookie and being in the playoffs, folks." He's not a rookie. It was even Dale Jr. at the beginning of the season said that he was a rookie. He's not a rookie. So that was clarified earlier in the season.
My question is, how'd they get so through so many proofs and approved to be put on a car?
No, I think they purposely did that, making fun of that whole situation.
Okay.
Because I think like there's so many different. There's like I said, there's like inside jokes
well,
built into that.
If that's the case, then
Yeah, I think it was on purpose to accentuate. You know, Bowman's, because that was his big moment through the year. People talked about him, was to call him a rookie, because it was kind of funny in a way. Ryan Blaney's, he looks like some kind of old, like, hillbilly truck driver.
Looks like Kyle Petty.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it. Kyle Petty. I mean, they're just like, looking at these, they're just so funny. I mean, there's like, some look really good, and some look like, wow, where'd they come up with this at?
Yeah, there's not any better options.
So who was the artist that came up with these? And did the teams have input?
I would think they would have had to.
I would hope so. Or is it just something that was completely all done by RTA, and they came to the teams like, hey, put this on your car, by the way, because you have to, because we own you, basically.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you have insights to that, let us know. We would like to know if they were, like, basically forced by the RTA to put that on there. like at the last minute, or they actually had a say in it as well.
Right.
Did you see Harvick's interview when he got taken? Well, I don't say taken out of the race. He took himself. I mean, the front tire. He
called him piece of crap tires,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, he made a comment about like basically the crappy tires and being like Russian roulette on those tires. And Goodyear obviously was defensive about mm-hmm. it. It was funny the way he called him out. But that's typical Harvick. You know,
yeah,
And I like Harvick, but let's admit, sometimes he's a little slow on accepting accountability on
things. Yeah, absolutely. He's can be a little full of drama.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still love Harvick.
I mean, yeah, I do too. But
great for the sport.
You know, it's kind of like the situation with Ross Chastain at Darlington. You know, he was the first one to deflect, you know, blame on the situation. And Chip Ganassi sure put the exclamation point on that. But anyway, so do you want to talk about our picks from last
week? Yeah, I was going to say, Lux, how did yours do? If you want to go, do one, go to mine first.
You can go ahead and go first. That's fine. I'm a nice guy.
Okay, so I went on the 1/64,000th chance that Keselowski would win 3 in a row. Bam! Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You should give me like $10, like a I just won in
why
a
would I do
or
that?
Something.
You didn't give me $10 when I picked the winner before. I picked 1 and 2. If anybody's gonna get any money, it should be me.
It wasn't Vegas. But this is Vegas. The whole point is, you know.
Oh, is it?
Gambling. I gambled a 1/64,000th chance.
Was that really the odds?
Yes. According to them on TV, that was the odds. 1/64,000.
Well, you should have bet at Vegas then.
Yeah. My dark horse was Ryan Newman, finished 9th.
That's cool. Good showing for Newman.
Yeah, absolutely. Considering... So, good showing for me this week. I just say, hey, good job, guys, man. Let me hear it.
I don't think you ever told me a good job, so I'm not going to reciprocate that. I did not do so hot. I picked Harvick. He finished 39th. And then Menard. Hey, Menard kind of came home for me. Yeah. I said maybe he could get another 9th. He came home 10th. So how about that?
Yeah, not bad at all. And honestly,
they don't think they mentioned his name once.
I don't think they did either.
But, you know, props, kudos to him.
But I think if Harvick wasn't caught up in the situation he was, I think you've been a lot better off than what you were, obviously. I think Harvick would have been a top 5 car.
Yeah.
So you have been, you know... If that was the case, we both would have had awesome weeks. We both need to go to Vegas and gamble.
Yeah. One of the few times we've been successful in kind of calling the shots. But what do we want to talk about now? We talk about Xfinity or news? Or
Let's go to Xfinity because it was kind of an exciting race.
Okay.
So big news. It was the winner. The watermelon man.
Ross Chastain,
the watermelon farmer.
So,
did you see his victory? Like what he did?
Threw it down.
He pulled was it Gallagher, the old comedian that broke watermelons? He basically threw a watermelon down on the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty funny. There was a lot of wrecks. Do we talk about next week already? Like. Who we're going to have on...
No, we said we're going to make up. Okay. I got to tune in.
Okay, well, I'll just give a hint. It's an Xfinity driver. We're moving up in the ranks a little bit. We got an Xfinity driver calling in next week, folks.
So check back. You got to listen. You got to come back. We're not sharing any more.
All right. But overall, you know, what did you think of the Xfinity race?
I thought it was good. It really, you know, I'll be honest, Ross was putting a beat down on him until the latter stages whenever... Allgaier came up there. I thought, man, is Allgaier going to get his 6th win of the year? And, you know, didn't happen, but, you know, he got up there and challenged for it. So I thought that was kind of impressive because looked like the field caught up to Chastain a little bit at the end, but nonetheless, he still had the best car.
Yeah, and let's just be honest. He's raced 2 races for Ganassi. Yes, it's a Cup team in the Xfinity Series, but this is a guy who... has now proven himself. I mean, he was leading that race with him and Harvick got together.
Mm-hmm.
And now this race, I mean, he's kind of, I don't want to use the term bulletproof, because obviously he had issues in that first race with that situation with Harvick, mm-hmm. but he's proved himself. He's capable of being a good driver.
Yeah. So, you know, what does he have on the calendar for 2019? Because he definitely needs a top ride.
Yeah. So he currently races for JD Motorsports in Xfinity when he didn't do those Ganassi races. So
could Ganassi put him in the 1? I mean, nothing's been confirmed there. We know McMurray's leaving the Cup Series in the number 1. So would that be too bold of a move?
I don't. That's a good question. I don't. Here's the thing. Is it too bold a move? Absolutely not. We've seen people like David Gilliland move up probably prematurely based on a victory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Ross has already proved himself a little bit more than David.
And we've been hearing
David.
That for a long time, that he has the talent. He just wasn't in, you know, equipment that fit his talent. So,
yeah. So bold move, no. However, there's still... Okay, I'm kind of skipping ahead slightly here. There's still heavy, heavy rumors, especially this week, about Kurt Busch stepping into that ride.
So has he... Is it official? Is he leaving Haas Stewart?
So, well, again, skipping ahead of something I was going to talk about a bit later, is it official? No, because as of right now, everybody says we don't know what he's doing.
They did this last year.
Exactly. But let me tell you what Gene Haas said. Gene Haas made the comment.
Is this like today or yesterday?
Yeah, this was a couple days ago. Someone was asking about, you know, if they're going to retain Kurt Busch. He's like, you know, there's a chance. You know, if he goes and wins 5 more races in the championship, then we'll definitely look at keeping him.
What?
So I read that. I was actually a little pissed off. I felt that was a big blow to someone who has won a championship and who's actually won a race for your team and who's, in the past, he was looked at as the bad boy, mouthy. He's really done a good job the last couple years.
Cleaning his image up.
Absolutely. So why do I feel that Haas has no respect for him? That's just, maybe I'm reading into that, but that's my feelings on that.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, you got Almirola who has... Does Almirola have 1 or 2 wins in the Cup Series? Regardless, I mean, he's not performing to the level that Kurt is.
No.
So for him, I don't know, for him to say that, yeah, it's kind of a cheap shot against Kurt. But, you know, the rumor is what? Kurt's going to go to the 1. Potentially, that's an option. But then also we hear Newman's officially leaving the 31 with Richard Childress.
And it's official. That is official. Newman will not be back to the RCR 31.
And also official, Trevor Bayne will not be back in the 6.
Correct.
But they're now rumoring that Kenseth could come back for a part-time slot there.
But there's also rumors that Kenseth's going to the 41.
Yeah. So, gosh, we got 9 races left. When's this Mexican standoff going to, like, come to a conclusion? Because I feel like we're just waiting for one domino to fall, and never they...
Yeah, no, you're right. I think you're right. I think people are almost waiting for Jimmy Johnson to announce his damn sponsor to kind of get that domino falling. Because we've been waiting so long for that. And Lowe's, there was hints that maybe Lowe's is coming back, but then Lowe's is, you know, coming out this week on Twitter saying that they're going to run 2 throwback paint schemes this year.
Yeah.
For Johnson and his homestead. And I almost get the feeling he's retiring. And this is why I say that. I don't think he actually is, but I almost get the feeling that he is. Because Lowe's said that his paint scheme at Homestead, the final race of the season, is the paint scheme he won with in his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just that whole, like, first season to last season type feel. I know maybe it's because it's the last season of Lowe's. And they're closing out the Lowe's chapter, you know, which makes sense. But in a way, it also feels like this almost maybe should be the time Jimmy hangs it up.
No, I mean, I could see how some people would think that. But, I mean, they just signed another 1-year agreement, him and Knaus did. So, I don't think that's...
I agree. I don't think they would. But almost the way it's, like, flowing, almost it gives you that feel.
Well, they ran a special paint scheme for Gordon, too, at Homestead right before they rebranded as Exalta. So,
I mean, it makes sense. Lowe's first race, Lowe's last race with that team, with Jimmy, it makes sense. I'm just, again, with how many, you know, drivers we've seen retire and all that here in the last couple of years, kind of, again, just gives that feel. I'm not saying he is. It just gives that feel. And, okay, so since we're talking about Jimmy, let me bring this up real quick. I just read this on Twitter earlier today. Like an hour ago,
when he was in Vegas,
this was just fans talking on Twitter. Someone, I think he might be one of the motorsport authors, whatever, said Jimmy Johnson, the greatest of all time, changed my mind. And I disagree.
God, here we go, folks.
No, I'm just saying that, and here's why.
Oh, we know.
Here, okay, why? If you know, what am I going to say?
Because Dale Earnhardt's number one.
Take that out of the discussion. Take that out of the discussion. You know he is. Take that out of the discussion. Why is Jimmy not the best of all time?
Well, you tell me. You don't agree with it.
And the reason why I don't agree with it is because Jimmy's era, when he's won his championships, and even up to now, the teams are so dependent upon engineering. So dependent. That back in the mid to late 80s, early 90s, yes, you had to have a good car. I get that because someone pointed that out to me. Yes, I don't know shit. But wins back then were much more on the driver and the skill level than they are today. Because today, you have to be good, but you have to have... If you don't have those top engineers, you're going to be a 10th place car.
Yeah, I mean, I agree to a point, but also you could also argue this is the most competitive that the sport's ever been.
I'm not saying it's not competitive, but I'm saying it's less on the driver than what it used to be. So it's hard to say he's the greatest of all time. Maybe his team as a whole, but him single, just him singled out, I don't think it's the case. Now, if you want to say that the Chad Knaus, Jimmy Johnson combo is the best of all time, I actually will support that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But single Jimmy out as the greatest of all time, in my opinion, is incorrect. I think there was people... You got to look at even teams back then that were still underfunded, that you had Alan Kowicki, Jeff Bodine.
Well, that's like...
People who were really... They're driving abilities,
well, that's how... I mean, this is going to be an argument for the ages, because it's apples to oranges. You're never going to be able to, determine who was the best ever. Yeah, you can go off of wins.
I agree. I agree. So, my response to this person was, in this era, yes, I give you that.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, I can't give you that. Right. I cannot make an argument for Jimmy being the best of all time. I cannot make that argument at all. This era, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As a team, what they proved themselves and how long they've been together, I'll give you that. There's an argument for that. There is not an argument for being the best of all time.
I thought you were going to say, because I read an article where Johnson was, I guess he was just walking up and down.
Oh, his fire suit? Yeah, and people weren't recognizing
him. No one knew who he was.
Yeah, I made the comment on Twitter, actually, about this. I asked, is that a sign of where his career is at today?
I mean, you'd think that there'd be a lot more people in Vegas that'd be able to...
I mean, is it weird that guys walking down a road wearing a fire suit?
I mean, that in itself should turn some heads, right? So, weird.
But it's not like he's not a household name. So people see the Lowe's logo on him, they should almost know who it is.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, he's got such a strong brand association there. Yeah, absolutely. So, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but Lowe's had kind of backpedaled in the last couple weeks. I guess they had a shift in marketing executives.
Actually, I think CEOs itself.
Yeah, and so they actually were talking about maybe coming back in a limited manner next year.
Maybe.
Possibly. Possibly, yeah, depending on...
I think the old Dollar General CEO is now CEO of Lowe's, and who got Dollar General in the NASCAR? So I think they're actually trying to push that over because his experience is the NASCAR clientele. Because, I mean, he brought Dollar General in with Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, and the Truck Series, Busch Series, et cetera.
Right.
Or Xfinity Series, sorry. I think they're trying to leverage that the CEO has had that background of sponsoring in NASCAR to keep it at least partially going.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I hope they come back, even if it's just one race a year. It's cool to retain some sort of level of sponsorship, with long-time sponsors.
Yep. So we've already started talking about news. Let's just keep this going.
Okay.
Israeli driver Alan Day is going to be making a cup start at Richmond.
Okay.
Supposedly this is his second start, but I don't remember his first. Do you?
I do not.
Okay.
Doesn't ring a bell to me.
Anyway, good luck. I don't even know what team he's racing for. I didn't even see that. They just talked about him coming in and racing, so I don't know.
So you bringing that up jogged my memory of that South African team. Remember when they said they were going to compete?
Abba Wuzi?
They were going to compete in a few of the chase races.
Yeah, maybe it's that car.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know, yeah. Abaka, Boca, what was it called?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to dig out my notes from a couple weeks ago. But I don't know, is that them? And if it's not, what happened to that team? Because they got nine races left.
Yeah, they took over that BK Racing cars, you know, and they got the assets, some of the assets from that sale that you think they'll be turning those out pretty soon.
Yeah. So,
Catherine Legge?
Making an Xfinity.
Yeah, her first oval. Her first
oval debut. Yeah, she was at Road America earlier in the year.
Hey, you want to talk about some legal news?
I know you do.
So, okay, we all know the story about our glorious sport president, Brian France, right?
All hail thee.
So, how, after all this that's gone on, you're going to plead not guilty?
You've got money, man.
I guess, you know, they're going to look for, you know, some kind of, like, evidence mishandling or something.
Well, apparently it's happened before.
Yeah, back in, like, was it Arizona he got out of it?
He got out of it, like, one or two other times.
Yeah. So maybe that's what he's banking on. Hey, it must be nice to have money. We're broke. We're broke folks.
Yeah.
So that's, what can money buy you? Obviously it can buy you freedom.
I don't know. He probably knows a judge or something. Who knows? I don't know. But we're gonna find out.
Free tickets.
We're gonna find. Yeah. We're gonna find out.
Bro. Yeah. Again, so they find opioids on him, you know, alcohol under the influence, and then he pleads not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Just bend over, take it, move on.
Yeah. I feel like, honestly, in today's PC world, like, just admit your fault and.
We'll forget about it.
Do your time. Donate to a charity. Do some community service. Dude, just like you just said, bend over, take it, get on with your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's messed up at some point. So
just. Absolutely. I know several people who've gotten DUIs and stuff. It's not smart. It's a dumbass decision. But you know what? You got to live with the consequences of the decisions you make.
So own it and move on. Yeah.
Exactly. Other legal news is that the wrongful death lawsuit brought on by Kevin Ward's family was tossed out of court by the judge. So Tony Stewart's clean and free of all of that. So I guess good job, Tony, on that. I don't know what to say about the situation because I mean it's I'm not even gonna discuss it. It was years ago.
Yeah, what, 2015, I think.
Yeah, I had maybe been longer than that. It felt like it's been forever.
I thought I read 2015, but
maybe it just feels like it's been forever. But anyway, I got mixed feelings on about what happened. Anyway, we're not gonna talk about it. Smoke. You're a historically awesome person for the sport, but you may have screwed up. Essentially, again, we're not getting into it.
Did you see that Aris might be looking to sponsor a second car next year?
I did not see that. That's cool news.
Yeah.
Like, and basically they're on go with Suarez.
Basically, it stems from the fact that they're tied legally to the 19 car with JGR. So if Suarez moves to the 95 or wherever he goes, he's basically that's going to be the secondary sponsorship because
now,
legally.
Now, let's say he goes to a Ford team. And we're going to have Aris on the Toyota and a Ford, like kind of like the Bass Pro.
It's funny you bring that up because Stuart Haas said they weren't interested in Suarez
unless he brought his sponsor. Aris.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yep.
I didn't even think about that. That's a very good point because they actually have addressed him specifically and said that they wouldn't be unless a sponsor. So if he's got a sponsor, it makes sense because they don't have a sponsor for that car.
Yeah.
And the wheels are turning, my friend.
Right. So interesting there that they were tied to the actual, you know, car. Not, you know, JGR signed them to the car and car number. So kind of smart business move on their end, I guess, to retain the dollars in the house. So
interesting. I did not know that.
I think we've covered a lot of it. There was an announcement today. There was a weather protection program with the tickets. Any race tickets that you purchased?
I literally read something on Twitter about that, like right when we're coming on there.
Yeah, basically, so like you can buy with a lot of concert tickets. You can take out a little bit of insurance, and if you elect that, and then the race, you know, rains out, you can get your refund back, or you can basically apply that cost towards other tickets at another upcoming track. So,
nice.
Cool, I guess. Yeah. A nice move, you know, because nothing sucks more than buying tickets and going to a track and then.
So, how much is this protection plan?
I don't actually didn't even see a dollar amount.
Anyone who's worked retail,
it's a minimal amount. So I know with like concert tickets, it's normally like $5 to $10 extra.
Okay, so anybody who's ever worked retail knows that these protection plans are like 100% profit for.
Yeah.
So what's the chances of a race? I mean, they're gonna make a killing on this. So that's a way for them to offset some of lost funds from not selling tickets.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it's a smart business move. It makes sense. So why not?
But at the same time, if you got a rash of a lot of races that are affected by rain, then it could also bite you. But
yeah, I don't see. I mean, I still don't see that happening because it's. I mean, we've seen more weather this year, I think, than ever before, and it's still not been crazy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a good move, smart move. Gives the fans a little bit of some options. So, yeah.
Money Lion is a new sponsor coming to Xfinity Series for Penske.
I knew I saw that. What is Money Lion?
I have no idea. I'm assuming it's a financial company.
Gotcha.
Hint the name Money.
Hey, you were talking about new sponsors, companies coming in. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. So we need to celebrate the sponsors we have. So if you don't know what Money Lion is, check them out. If you have financial assets you can throw their way, go for it. I do not have any. And did you see the creep that like bombarded Haley Deegan and had her sign his tramp stamp area?
I unfortunately did.
So people were blasting this guy on Twitter and other online forums really heavily about how creepy and stuff this was. And I agree, it is a little creepy.
What was the tattoo of?
I don't even know.
That's just weird.
I don't know. But she signed right there. She seemed to laugh about it. It didn't seem like an awkward laugh. Like she kind of thought it was funny. So I think people are making this to be a bigger deal than what it actually is. But should the guy have done that? Probably not.
Mm.
I mean, she's what, 16?
Yeah.
Have a little decency. Don't be stupid like that. But I don't think it's as bad as people making it out to be. I could be wrong. I'm not the most PC person in this world.
You're not?
No. You know better than that.
Let's see. Any other news that you've got?
No, sir.
I have one piece. It's not NASCAR related. Scott Dixon won the IndyCar championship on Sunday.
Yeah, and poor Alexander Rossi had a wreck the very first lap.
Yeah.
So and actually, you bring that up. That's kind of funny in a way, because this race was delayed. The race was delayed. Yeah.
Yeah, because so many green whites.
Yeah. So what happened is that instead of cutting over to this Indy race that they're supposed to, it stayed on the NASCAR race. And
threw it over while they were under red flag.
Yeah, people didn't see that.
It even got me because I was like, all right, so did they switch this to another channel? And I was like in the process of looking it up, and they were like, we'll get you back to it here in just a minute. But I was just like, what the heck happened?
Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of so I think you posted a meme earlier this week on Facebook, maybe? Where, there's a guy and girl walking, and the guys turn around checking out this other girl, and the other girl was the NASCAR logo on her face, and his current girl was the IndyCar.
Mm-hmm.
That was perfect for this week, because he had all these IndyCar people flipping out, because NASCAR was still on the channel that their race is supposed to be on.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of fun. It made me laugh comparing those two situations. You know, that meme you put up, and then a couple days later, happening.
Yeah. I don't really have any other news. There was something I posted on our Facebook feed, so if you haven't seen it, the Days of Thunder Mellow Yellow Coltrickle car, the official car they used for filming of that.
Oh, yeah, because you said something about, if you got 70,000.
Yeah, the official car that they used still has functioning motor, apparently. It's actually registered with, National Historical Vehicles Museum or something like that. But it's up for sale, $70,000. So
that's awesome.
If you got $70,000, guys, man, go get it.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Let me just whip that out right now.
We'll make it our weekend track car.
Yeah. But talk about Facebook. One last thing before we let you guys stop listening to us for the week. So we're thinking about tossing an idea out here for you guys. Should we, going forward or here in the near future, switch this podcast to a video podcast so you can see Log's beautiful face and my ugly ass face? And please let us know on our Twitter or on our Facebook. Right now, we're literally our deadlock. We're 50-50 on votes right now. So this is what we're thinking and what we're going to try to do. And we're unfortunately technologically unadvanced. So we don't know 100% how we're going to do this yet, but it's something we're going to work on. So we take a video of the podcast, and we'll have it up available on YouTube or whatever for if you, or we'll just keep it like on the same format. We'll keep it in the audio version just for the audio people. So we actually hit both worlds.
Yeah. If you want to watch the video, you can. If you want to just listen, you can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are we doing this? I have no freaking clue because I'm an ugly son of a bitch.
but yet it was your idea.
We had kind of thrown it out there before.
People mentioned it to us.
Devin, for example, last week even brought up on our show.
But even when we started, we had people saying,
yeah,
when can I watch it? When do you guys... Yeah. When do you guys...
Sokka actually brought it up once before. Mm-hmm. He is a big YouTuber, so he actually brought it up before. So it's just something we're throwing out there, trying to get a feel. I think we probably will do it. And, I mean, we'll just take a look at our responses on our polls. But hit both worlds, why not?
Yeah. So let us know if that's something you'd be interested in watching. You know, we don't do too much editing anymore. We edit a lot.
So Logs wants to know if you want us to like see us eat pickles. And just like,
I did not say that was what we would be doing, but there's YouTube videos out there of this lady. I'm sure there's more than one person that does it, but this lady in particular, she's got millions of people, like subscribers, that watch her eat like these weird foods, and she eats it into the microphone. People find it soothing. Me personally, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
I can't stand the eating sound.
Mm-mm. And that's, don't even see.
Yeah,
that.
See, I hate it. I hate it. I'm with you on that, Alex. I hate it.
But I said that's, you know, maybe we'll do something like that. But no, we're not going to. I was just being sarcastic.
But fans, if you really want us to like talk sensual to you and like real soft.
No.
And, you know, talk about how awesome Harvick is and the Keselowski.
You see, that irritates
yeah.
me alone.
Yeah, that's a little annoying, isn't it? Yeah, so we probably will not do that.
We will not do yeah. that.
Maybe that's premium content that you can subscribe to. Is that we can talk like this, too, if you want us to. Talk NASCAR.
You're going down a dark road there, Gavin.
Hey, but again, it could be premium content. If you're interested, email us, wreckingracing@gmail.com.
Guess mail, do anything for a buck.
Well, that's about true. Folks, you have a great week. Thank you for listening. It's been a blast, as always. Have a good night.
The checkered flag has waved on this episode. Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player. Also, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. From Lugs and the Gas Man, we thank you for listening.